From the top of the ice palace, Tiffany could see for miles, and they were miles of snow. Only on the chalk was there any sign of green. It was an island.
"You see how I learn," said the Wintersmith. "The chalk is yours. So there summer will come, and you will be happy. And you will be my bride, and I will be happy. And everything will be happy. Happiness is when things are correct. Now I am human, I understand these things."
"Don't scream. Don't shout," said her third thoughts. "Don't freeze up either."
"Oh, I see," she said. "And the rest of the world will stay in winter?"
"No, there are some latitudes that never feel my frost," said the Wintersmith. "But the mountains, the plains as far as the Circle Sea, oh yes. Millions of people will die. But only once, you see. That is what makes it wonderful. And after that, no more death."
And Tiffany saw it, like a hog's watch card. Birds frozen to their twigs, horses and cows standing still in the fields, frozen grass like daggers, no smoke from any chimney, a world without death because there was nothing left to die, and everything glittering like tinsel. She nodded carefully.
"Very sensible," she said. "But it would be a shame if nothing moved at all."
"That would be easy. Snow people," said the Wintersmith. "I can make them human."
"Iron enough to make a nail," said Tiffany.
"Yes, it is easy. I have eaten sausage, and I can think. I never thought before. I was a part, now I am a part. Only when you are a part do you know who you are."
"You made me roses of ice," said Tiffany.
"Yes, already. I was becoming."
"But the roses melted at dawn," Tiffany added to herself, and glanced at the pale yellow sun. It had just enough strength to make the Wintersmith sparkle. "He does think like a human," she thought, looking into the odd smile. "He thinks like a human who's never met another human.
He's cackling. He's so mad he will never understand how mad he is. He just doesn't have a clue what human means. He doesn't know what horrors he's planning. He just doesn't understand. And he's so happy, he's almost sweet."
Rob Anybody banged on Roland's helmet.
"Get on wi' it, laddie," he demanded.
Roland stared at the glowing figure.
"This can't be Tiffany."
"Ach, she's a goddess. She can look like anything," said Rob Anybody. "Just a wee peck on the cheek, okay? Dinna get enthusiastic, we haven't got all day. A wee peck and we're offski."
Something butted Roland on the ankle. It was a blue cheese.
"Dinna fash yoursel aboot Horace. He just wants ye to do the right thing," said the mad Feagle, whom Roland had come to know as Daft Woolly.
He went closer, with the glow crackling around him, because no man wants to be a coward in front of a cheese.
"This is kind of embarrassing," he said.
"Grivens, get on wi' it, will ye?"
Roland leaned forward and pecked the sleeping cheek. The sleeper opened her eyes, and he took a step back very quickly.
"That's not Tiffany Aching," he said, and blinked.
Bogles were as thick around him as grass stems.
"Now take her by the hand and run," said Rob Anybody. "The bogles will turn nasty when they see we're leaving."
He banged cheerfully on the side of the helmet and added,
"But that's okay, right, 'cause you have a plan."
"I hope I've got it right, though," said Roland. "My aunts say I'm too clever by half."
"Glad to hear it," said Rob Anybody, "'cause that's much better than being too stupid by three quarters. Now grab the lady and run."
Roland tried to avoid the stare of the girl as he took her hand and pulled her gently off the slab. She said something in a language he couldn't understand, except that it sounded as though there were a question mark on the end of it.
"I'm here to rescue you," he said.
She looked at him with the golden eyes of a snake.
"The sheep girl is in trouble," she said, in a voice full of unpleasant echoes and hisses. "So sad. So sad.
Well, we'd better run," he managed. "Whoever you are."
The not Tiffany gave him a smile. It was an uncomfortable one, with a bit of a smirk in it. They ran.
"How do you fight the bogles?"
he panted when the Feagle army jogged through the caves.
"Ach, they didn't like the taste of us overmuch," said Rob Anybody, as the shadows parted. "It may be, 'cause we think about the drinking a lot. It makes them squiffy. Keep moving."
And it was at this point that the Bogles struck, although that was hardly the right word. It was more like running into a wall of whispers. Nothing grabbed. There were no claws. If thousands of tiny weak things like shrimps or flies were trying to stop someone, this would be how it felt. But the ferryman was waiting. He raised a hand as Roland staggered toward the boat.
"That will be 6 pennies, he said.
"Six," said Roland. "Ach, we wasna doon here more than 2 hours, and bang went sixpence," said Daft Woolly.
One-day round trip, one way," said the ferryman.
"I don't have that much," Roland shouted. He was beginning to feel little tugs in his head now. Thoughts had to push hard to get as far as his mouth.
"Leave this to me," said Rob Anybody.
He turned to look down on his fellow Feagles and banged on Roland's helmet for silence.
"Okay, lads," he announced. "We're no leaving."
"What?" said the ferryman. "Oh, no, you leave. I'm not having you down here again. We're still finding the bottles from last time. Come on, get on the boat this minute."
"Crivens, we cannot do that, pal," said Rob Anybody. "We're under a guise to help this lad ye ken. Where he disna go, we dinna go."
"People are not supposed to want to stay here," snapped the ferryman.
"Ach, we'll soon have the old place jumping again," said Rob Anybody, grinning.
The ferryman drummed his fingers on the pole. They made a clicking sound, like dice.
"Oh, all right, then. But, and I want to be clear on this, there is to be no singing."